I think it's such a hard journey for an entrepreneur to go through to get to that level of, get to that mentality of realizing that it's, you know, all your processes, all your tactics, all your brilliant ideas are great, but actually that doesn't matter. What matters is you find great people who then do all of those.
Welcome to the Leaders of B2B podcast, a weekly show where we bring you interviews and in the weeds expertise with today's B2B experts and thought leaders. You can see more about today's episode and guest by visiting our website at leadersofb2b.com.
Hey leaders, welcome back. This is Ledge. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Leaders of B2B. This is going to be an exciting episode. Today, I'm joined by TJ and Jake from Content Allies. They're going to tell you a little bit of their story and some changes that we're making on the show. Jake, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, thanks for having me on here, Ledge, and excited to dive into this. I'm Jake. I'm the founder of Content Allies. Some of you may remember I hosted a bunch of the early episodes before Ledge took over for quite a period of time. And TJ, I'll let you introduce yourself as well.
Hey, everybody. Glad to be here. TJ Bonaventura, former founder of Studio Pod Media, a podcast production agency, and excited to be a part of the show and a part of Content Allies, Jake.
So why don't you guys go into, we have some news, some business news about the combination of greatness. So take it away here. I want everybody to know.
Yeah, basically the exciting news is that StudioPod has merged into Content Allies here, which is a really exciting thing. So TJ has been doing some amazing work. He's been producing shows for OpenAI, Morgan Stanley, Pinterest, for Freshworks, a ton of really amazing companies. He's got an incredible background there. And TJ was looking to grow and scale, and we were looking to grow and scale, and we joined forces here. So TJ's hopped in here and is now leading up account strategy at Content Allies, and we've joined our forces here and are excited and doing some amazing stuff.
Yeah. For anybody that hasn't been paying attention, Content Allies is the underwriting studio of Leaders of B2B. So anybody, if you like these episodes over the last, gosh, I don't even know how long it's been, 3 years now, of listening to this, all that work comes from Content Allies, and it's the strategy and implementation and production and just all the things that go behind making a great show. If you ever want your own show, this is the team to do it for you. It's been a fantastic opportunity, and for my own self, an opportunity now to grow up out of a product that we developed inside with our own client needs, this product called Listen Network. And as we were selling and developing big brand podcasts across all of the Content Allies universe, we discovered this challenge that, you know, organic results just weren't enough, and that we wanted to grow things and we wanted to grow podcasts, but in a meaningful fashion. And Jake, you first came back with the news and say, listen, we can pay for downloads. We should try that. But then we found out, what were the issues with existing solutions?
Yeah. So this really, all this came out of, so I guess to like kind of summarize the big updates is like StudioPod and Content Allies have joined forces. And then Listen Network is another organization that we built up, which Ledge, you along with some of the other team members are spearheading, which is really focused on that growth. But I mean, really all of this movement and what we're aiming to build is just like the top B2B podcast agency out there. And, you know, at Content Allies, we've been producing for Meta, Siemens, Alibaba, Gusto, Cisco. We've got all these enterprise clients. Now we've got everything TJ's bringing to the mix with StudioPod. And the growth is a big challenge. And so, TJ, I want to like hear your kind of insights and your kind of coming into here and what you've seen on the growth challenges as well.
Yeah, I think holistically in our industry here in the space, there was not a one-stop shop agency that can provide the whole story for marketers within the podcasting realm. And that's everything from the tip of the spear, being able to get as many eyeballs and discoverability into the shows, all the way down into amazing production and client strategy, which is where I'm taking over. And then being able to be a results-driven organization. We all know from a B2B perspective, results matter, and being able to tell that ROI story. I'm affectionately calling us the agency of record for B2B podcasters, because that's what we are. And now we can close this loop for anybody getting involved. And that's what really attracted me, right? It wasn't just an amazing team that can produce. It's the experience of 6-7+ years within the podcasting space and B2B space that we all have learned to be able to deliver to our clients and make sure that the content, and this is where the podcast comes into play, where the content that's being delivered is accurate, because there's so much misinformation out there that's being spread. And candidly, if you're a podcaster in the B2B space, it's very possible that your show has been shut down or is dwindling because you're not getting the right information or you're not be able to tell the right story. And that's where I think collectively the three of us and our organizations are driving for our clients.
Yeah, and I'll chime in on that and I kind of share, I guess, the other piece of the news, which is Ledge, you've been effectively running kind of sales and a huge part of Content Allies for years, and you're now shifting over to lead Listen Network, which is essentially the ads and promotion sister company to Content Allies. So Content Allies, we're full service growth agency, do anything and everything. But when we started to build this ads product, these promotions products, these ways that we could grow actual good downloads, because there's so much sketchy things going on in podcast downloads with mobile incentivized game traffic and all these people doing these questionable things, we wanted to build a good product. And we decided to separate that into a second company, Listen Network, which led you're spearheading with Megan and some of the other team over there and Dots to basically build this other company, mainly because we're now servicing a bunch of the other agencies that wanted access to this too. So Content Allies is one of Listen Network's biggest customers, but not even the biggest customer anymore. It's servicing a ton of other agencies and big shows to help them grow their podcasts. So that's been another exciting news and shift for Ledge here as well. And Ledge, do you want to share more insight?
Yeah, absolutely. And I go back to whatever that was, 2018, when, you know, it was just like, hey, let's focus on podcasts. And this was going to be huge. And everybody had that wave of, I mean, we were just like outrageously overwhelmed by, you know, let's spend money on podcasts. And then as things changed and we started to get to be a more mature industry, we had to think a lot more about data and business intelligence. It's just like, how does this really deliver meaningful insights into that content marketing universe? And what I love about Listen Network and what we've built there is the idea that, sure, downloads need to go up. And if downloads need to go up, let's do it from the standpoint of gathering really, really excellent data about the people from whom they're going up by. And podcasts by nature don't have that data because podcasts is an open RSS protocol. The hosts can add a little bit of information to that, the hosting platforms, but who has all the information? It's ad networks. And let's be transparent about that, that we can promote, we can drive better discovery. We can create and put podcasts in front of exactly the right market. And that's just an exciting proposition. And then I think that we wanted to bring that out to the marketplace. We could have forwarded that into just Content Allies and made our own solution and nobody else can have it. And we decided to spin that out into its own entity so that we can serve in a transparent fashion all of the industry needs and all of the agencies. So it's been really cool to look at those partnerships. Podcasting industry in general, like we all know, I mean, that's what made the StudioPod relationship come up. It's like, we're a small niche industry. We all know each other and let's make a great product that benefits and lifts all the boats. So yeah, it's exciting to be a part of that and to see those networks grow.
Yeah. And really, really quickly, as someone who spent prior to starting the agency back in 2018, I spent a lot of time in sales and marketing in the seats of our clients, our point of contacts, and really just like feeling the pain of like, we have this really creative opportunity to do something in the form of a podcast, video and audio, but we can't tell the full story. Like, we're not able to show the results. And prior to the pandemic, it was like, let's take a shot here. Let's just do a podcast, see how, because everyone's doing it. And then it exploded through the pandemic, which we all know. But now it's gotten to a point where podcasting, again, video and audio, are now a core pillar of every B2B marketer's bottom line. And so when that comes to play, you have to start to show, it's not a test anymore. You have to show the ROI, you have to show the business value there. And that's why leaning into and having you Ledge go full-time into Listen Network and spending a lot of your time there and just growing that platform along with like seeing the massive production value across the whole industry as a whole, not just what we're doing, is really exciting for me and for those who are not only going to be hosts or guests on the show, but prospect clients, and just, again, spreading the proper information of what individuals in our sphere should be doing.
It's really a fun educational opportunity, and just getting to have those conversations, like you're saying, is that we used to be able to have them sort of post-sale and say, what can you do with this thing later? How else can I demonstrate ROI? I love being able to move that to the front of the conversation and say, this is the reason that we're doing podcasting. And in fact, your podcast audience, based on the right data, can inform the rest of your marketing strategy. So you start to think content universe, not just podcast and video, in that weird siloed way that we all started talking about, like a podcast is just a separate thing. Now, this is content, and this is marketing and brand voice and all that stuff that we all wanted to unleash. And now we have a mechanism where we can actually tie real performance metrics to that. And that is the exciting part to me.
Yeah. And the thing that I'll say is, before coming on board and joining the team here, I had a lot of experience in using quote unquote peers in the space of Listen Network. And candidly, being able to try and tell a story in that space was really difficult, because a lot of the data wasn't accurate. It just wasn't rich. And so giving that to clients was really a difficult story to tell. And if I couldn't tell the story, then how are my clients going to tell the story to their boss? And so being able now to develop a technology that allows for our clients and those who are putting a lot of like creative effort into the space to be able to deliver that accurate ROI narrative and show that it's actually bringing more downloads, more visibility. And if thought leadership is your thing, then now we can actually prove how it's performing in that space, like, amazing. And so nothing but excited for the future. But listen, we need to take a step back here, because part of this, I guess, evolution of where the space is going, that ledge, you are going to be moving on from Leaders to B2B as a host. Jake and I will be taking over. First of all, are you okay? How are you doing?
You know, I lost all my hair, but I think I'm gonna get over it. So yeah, no, it's been awesome. And it is fun to look at a body of work and say that, hey, that turned into something, right? So we go to all the clients, we go, look, this is gonna take years and you're gonna need hundreds of episodes and eventually somebody will care. And that's what happened. And that was cool, because we were, like any show, you step out and you're just nobody and you don't have to beg people to talk to you. And then all of a sudden people start reaching out to you and say, oh, can I be on your show? I have a great guest who I think you should highlight. And for anybody that is that thought leadership thing, I just think it's funny, because people will start approaching you after you just do the work and say, oh, you're a thought leader and I want to be on your show. And for a while you get to this spot where you're kind of looking behind you and go, who are they talking to? What do they mean? And I think we finally looked up the metrics and it was like, you're a top 2% business show. And I'm like, I don't know where that comes from, but that's been fun. And there's been a lot of learnings, and you know, like the catalog is good and people will refer back to those things and really take home some meaningful metrics to think about their own business journey. And I like that.
And I think what Jake and I want to do here is we're going to flip the script. You've been doing this for 200 plus episodes as the host. It's going to take two of us to be the host going forward to take up what you're doing. So that's a testament of like how much energy and creative thought process you put behind this. So, okay. So looking back, Ledge, going back, like I said, 200 plus episodes, Leaders of B2B, an amazing show of thought leadership of what's happening across many, many different spectrums of the B2B landscape. What are some patterns that you saw from bringing the host here?
I love that. Yeah. So I would always want to ask people, so what are you doing? Why does it matter? Where'd you come from? What are the lessons learned? And then some other things about just what's on your radar, right? Like, what should everybody else know? One of the neat things about our show is we never focus on a particular segment, right? So it wasn't just marketers. It wasn't just sales. It wasn't just CEOs or founders. It's like anybody that's a leader of a B2B enterprise of really any size. And we had $30 billion companies, and we had scrappy startups, and we had VC funded, and we had bootstrapped. And it was interesting to look at some of those patterns. And as we were prepping for the show, I really wanted to think about that. And the first one was this pervasive idea. You would just think that we'd be past this as revenue generating humans that want to make B2B work. And to a T, everybody would talk about this, still this push and pull between marketing and sales. Like, it just wasn't aligned. It still wasn't aligned. We're still looking for operational ways to make that happen. Would it be pods? Would it be cross-functional? How do you get everybody in a revenue function to behave together and just not clash? And that still comes up. So I think that we have a challenge in our space as leaders there to work on that. One of my favorite things was listening to founders talk about how in their second, their third, their fourth company, they were what I came to think about as people collectors. That we've always been talked to as we should network, we should just always put ourselves out there. But what you could tell from the really great founders and founder teams and the people that were building their initial executive functions is that they were tapping into these great relationships from their past. And much like the story that we're telling about our own things, like, we're growing the tribe and we're bringing cool people from one project to another. And you get that sort of mind reading that can come from that, like the just not starting from scratch when you build a really successful team. I think that's a time-based factor. And people often talk about the overnight success, right? Which is usually a joke because it was an overnight success because you just heard about it and it was 12 years of work and we suffered a lot of the time to get there. And I think that's the same nature of people say, you got to have great folks, you got to have A+ people. And that's not just some weird hiring algorithm. That comes from the work of having developed relationships and had real conversations over time.
I'll chime in on that. It's just like from my own journey as an entrepreneur, that's like a thing that I am learning. That is why TJ is here, is like, just saw that. And like, TJ and I candidly just got off a very difficult call and I watched him run it. And I was just like, there was never anyone else in the company that could have run this call until now. And so you see that. And like, I think that's a big learning curve for a lot of people that are founders or entrepreneurs. And I feel like it's the one thing you have to get over to really like to get through that bottlenecks of growth is like just finding amazing people. And that's what I'm seeing the peers who have blown past me. It's because they've got better teams and they've got more teams. They hired people that were autonomous, that were leaders, that were better than them. And it's in ways it sounds cliche, but I think it's such a hard journey for an entrepreneur to go through to get to that level of get to that mentality of realizing that it's, you know, all your processes, all your tactics, all your brilliant ideas are great, but actually that doesn't matter. What matters is you find great people who then do all of those things. And that's, I think, just such a key insight. And that whenever you shared that, I was like, I love that, because that's like what I'm learning. But yeah, it's a great.
Yeah, and conversely, you know, it's like from someone who sat in the individual contributor seat, I, for a long time, didn't think I could ever leave my own agency or do whatever, but you find people that you actually want to attach to. It's not, hey, come follow me here. It's actually, I believe in like your ethos. I believe in what you're building. I believe in who you are as a person. And that eventually, you know, with enough tries, it will hit if you find that right chemistry between the leaders and those who are building the team, because a leader doesn't need to be just like the CEO. A leader it trickles all the way down. It could be the manager level. It can be an individual contributor working with a client or working with a contractor. And so it stems from the top, obviously. But if you're in that individual contributor seat, oftentimes you can get like lackadaisical. And I've been there before where I don't believe in this vision, but it goes back and forth, right? It there's two sides of every coin.
Yeah. And I think the podcasting is a great industry example of that. We've been in this compressed time frame of you could be an individual and own your own agency. And there was a lot of business to go around and there wasn't, you know, it was the Wild West and everybody grab a little piece and run your 13, 14 clients. And you could just keep doing that. And as things compress, as things become more mature, that consolidation then allows similar ethos people to come together and say, you know, it's just like, we're greater as a team than we are as a bunch of individuals trying to carve up what is a market that's just getting smarter. And I think you see that happen a lot of times in SaaS, where there's compression of B2B space, VC profiles, things like Ycom. You get people go through like multiple things together and they become, you know, more powerful. We were just talking about, you know, founders who are on their second big adventure and then they're crushing it because they learned so much and they built in this idea of, I now have capital access and team access and I understand markets better and I can really see what I've talked to enough customers. So tomorrow I'm speaking at a conference about some of this podcast stuff and I was able to write down, look, I've done 2,000 conversations with these people. Like I actually know what this market thinks. And I'm just, you can't fabricate that. Like that either happened or it didn't. You're never going to learn anything by sitting around with a whiteboard and going, here's what I think the market's going to do. No, here's what they really said, you know, just some customers. And we have a really great opportunity now to learn from and build the next evolution of all of that. And it goes to the next point, which is brand being about story. And that I almost hate that because it's trite, you know, in some kind of way, like, oh, brand stories and brand and storytelling. And but it happens over and over again. And marketing, we as marketers became very, especially starting 10 years ago, it's all about data and performance and how many clicks and big metrics and so all these things and data. And the data will tell us what to do. We don't need to have a brain anymore. And I think that we're seeing that come back around and going, that's not actually entirely right. And people in groups and combinations who believe in common sets of values and are actually trying to achieve something larger, brand comes from the inside out. And that I think that's an important way to view these evolutions. And who's going to survive a compression is somebody that has a greater thing to stand for. And I think that comes up over and over again.
I think that's such a good point, especially B2B. I think B2C, you know, you've just got such volume of interactions, an e-commerce store or something like that. It's just, there is such volume that I see why people go data. But ultimately, it's like, you also have to go super creative and all that. And there is investment. But the thing in like B2B, it's like so many B2B companies, it's like, we're going to close 20 deals this year. Like that's not uncommon for a lot of B2B companies, but they're like 20, you know, $500,000 deals. And I think that that's where you just like the data is, if you just look at the data and you're not looking at branding, you're not looking at messaging, things like that, it's okay. Well, like what's the value of those three people who engaged with some piece of content or engaged with liked your brand or saw some testimonial from a customer, some small little piece of the many things you did that moved that decision forward to make that $500,000 purchase. It's just like, you can't track that in data because that's three interactions that just moved 150, you know, 1.5 million that you just like, you can't track. And I think that's where the data driven on the B2B has always been hard. And at some level, like there's intuition plus data is a guiding light, but it can't be the full piece there. So
there's a reason why full sales teams still exist. And then we could have a conversation on like where BDRs are going to be in the future, but like there's a reason why teams are still building these relationships and why you're seeing, especially in the B2B tech space, you're seeing more of a consumption model where it's okay, let's get someone in the door and let's make sure they're using the product correctly and they're consuming more of the product. And that's where the costs of the services eventually go up. And then you have more of these account managers that are running these teams versus like traditional account executives within the space, which is fascinating. I know for me, like as we go forward with the podcast, I can't wait to hear more about where that's going, but it can't just be cut and dry only data. It can't be cut and dry only relationships. It's got to be a mixture of both within the B2B space. So Ledge, what about last point here really quickly? What's on the radar? What really are from your learnings here? What do people really care about going into the future?
Yeah, I used to ask this question to somewhere around, I don't know, episode 50 or something, I started doing the same ending question every time. It's like, I want to know, I'm talking to you, guest X, and you're a leader of B2B. That's why you're on the show. And since you are a leader, you are at the head of something that's different and distinct. And you have a picture of B2B your way. So what's on your radar screen? And what, I don't like to think about, you know, hey, let's plan years ahead, because if we don't do that anymore, we can't, things are changing. But what should I pay attention to that maybe you're aware of that we're not aware of, or other people aren't aware of in the audience? And it was interesting to watch that set of answers more over time. So it was not surprising starting last year where everybody just said AI, you know, but when you really dig into that, everybody had a different kind of view on it. And that came right after this idea of the changing nature of a workforce where, like, you know, I've seen Jake in person one time in 5 years. TJ, I've hung out with you a lot of times on Zoom and never been in the same room with you. And that we can all build stuff like that now. So many of those assumptions of the way that we built and scaled teams were now eliminated. So if there's any good learning or lesson from the pandemic, was that we all at least had to try to stretch to be remote first. And I think that thing is something that companies are still grappling with and will continue to do. So access to talent, but then, you know, inability to be, there is some kind of magical thing that happens once in a while when you can't sit around the same table. And how do we mix that? And how do we be hybrid? People are really concerned with that. And then another thing that comes up a lot is the changing demographic and generational landscape, where it's funny because now I'm like, geez, I'm like the old guy at work, where I used to be scrappy and young and, you know, Gen Z and boomer, and then us, the like six of us that are Gen X that nobody talks about. And, you know, it's just, this is like a weird thing of the accumulation of experience and how people jump off and can learn from each other. One of the things I really, really enjoyed about the older guests that I would get who were at the top or sunset of their career was just looking back, and they would notice patterns that, sure, there's been earth-shaking change, but they had been through the new internet and they had been through Y2K and the dot-com bust and then three or four different economic shifts, and now it's AI. And what about the hype train on, you know, in our industry, like Clubhouse, right? Everybody was scared of, who talks about being on Clubhouse now, right? And just, if you've seen enough of the tide going in and out, there were interesting things that you could glean from that. And I thought that was usually a really thoughtful way to present stuff. It's keep calm and carry on. Like, we've seen it all before. And so as we're recording this, the stock market's at an all-time high. Let's see that by the time it comes out where we're, you know, we're going to be at. So, you know, business is an evolving space, but there are these enduring, repeatable lessons that come up. And that was always my most interesting piece.
Love it. It's beautiful. As we wrap up here, I just want to share a few things that TJ and I are trying to do with, as we kind of take over these interviews going forward, just some insights for the audience here. But some things we're going to be trying to dive into is, we're going to keep them short, just keep them sweet, and go try to make sure you get something actionable from every guest is one thing. We've actually been advising a lot of our podcasts on some frameworks. So we're going to test out some new formats here, see how that goes. We're also going to be aiming to level up our social content. We're going to be doing a ton of other stuff around that as well. And I think a big thing we're both pretty passionate, TJ, about is just debunking some of the myths in the space. I just think it's an interesting thing where it never ceases to amaze me, and some of the B2B spaces where it's just, I think people are sometimes going toward the wrong targets, or they've got misaligned, or there's some marketers that are selling them some idea that may or may not be accurate. And we're going to try to debunk as much as we can of that and just try to get you guys data from real people that are really succeeding and show you some of that as well. But yeah, TJ, any thoughts from you on that?
How can we help our guests and our audience, like, think of creative ways to make their brand messaging and content interesting, even if they don't think that the company that they work for is necessarily like super interesting? Like, you can still create really relevant content if you're within the like cybersecurity space, right? So I'm really interested in like digging deeper and providing like real life examples that have worked and that will resonate across everyone who's going to be checking in into the show. I want to do like pitches, like somebody who hasn't started a podcast and wants to, let's pitch us. Like, is it a good idea? Why wouldn't they do it? Where would they get started? There's still, you know, when we're in this podcast realm, we feel like there's a lot of individuals who have started it. And I got asked by a client the other day, is it a saturated market? No way. We're not even there. You just have to think about it a little bit differently, right? But like when we're in it, we're like, okay, maybe we are, but we're not. And then just like coming up with more use cases across the board and really just elements that will provide examples that will resonate. I think that's the biggest thing alongside, like you said, debunking the myths. Like, I can't tell you how many times I go to these conferences and like when they talk about different aspects of B2B and specifically within the podcasting space, like how much information is just like going correct and like frustrates me. So I'm excited to shed some light across all those areas there, Jake.
I got to talk about that saturated thing. That cracks me up. I just wrote a post about that the other day. And the way I think about that is I remember in 2008 where people were starting to do blogs and from a business standpoint. And there were people in 2008 saying, oh, written content is saturated. Like I can't stand out. And now look back now and say, do you wish that I started in 2008 and maintained the most authoritative blog set of articles and kept writing, you would absolutely dominate the space. And I think podcasting and video is at that spot now. It would be absurd to say that you should stop when the market is saying, oh, it might be saturated. Like just talk about a myth. Like that would be the worst choice to make. So I hope nobody does that.
From my own personal experience, starting my blog in like 2009 or whenever the heck I started it, single highest ROI business move I've ever made. It still is what drives a large portion of our business today. All the SEO authority, all the domain authority. It's like, you will never regret investing in content. Like that's absurd. Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Well, let me just say thank you to the audience. I have enjoyed talking to everybody. It's been a super blast, you know, just having conversations that I never would have get to have. And all the aspiring podcasters out there and anybody that's like, you need to have your show. And Content Allies can do that for you. And hopefully Listen Network gets to grow it for you.
Yeah. And hopefully someday Ledge will have you host a Listen Network show. So we'll keep the whole audience informed whenever that day happens.
I'll take a little break and then something else will happen. So I do enjoy the conversations and I'll be back.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you all. And we're excited. Check out everything at leadersofb2b.com. Check out what TJ and I are doing at contentallies.com. And Ledge will be over at listennetwork.co. So feel free to reach out to us and look forward to talking further.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of the Leaders of B2B podcast. And as always, you can see more information about this episode and all the resources mentioned at leadersofb2b.com. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a 5-star rating. This episode is brought to you by Content Allies. We help B2B companies launch revenue-generating podcasts. We schedule interviews between you and your ideal prospects and strategic partners. You show up for engaging conversations. We handle everything else. Ready to build a podcast that grows your business in just 1 hour per week? Reach out to us at contentallies.com.